Hi, I'm Sandy Chapin, Director of Exhibition and Events at SEMI, and you're listening to the 3D Insights podcast, the official SEMICON West Hybrid 2021 podcast. SEMI is the global industry association representing the electronics manufacturing and design supply chain, connecting over 2,400 member companies and 1.3 million professionals worldwide. Learn more at semi.org. We are so excited to be hosting SEMICON West Hybrid 2021 in person at the Moscone Center in San Francisco and virtual. We look forward to seeing you there. Be sure to listen along as we bring you preview episodes as well as live recordings from the show floor.
This episode of the 3D Insights podcast is brought to you by EMD Electronics, helping to build a smarter, more connected world through the development of high-tech materials and solutions vital to our everyday lives. Learn more at emdgroup.com. So I am now speaking with Anand Nambiar from EMD Electronics, and he's here to talk to me about a couple of announcements the company made this week. Before we get started, Anand, why don't you tell me about your role at EMD?
Thank you. As you described, my name is Anand Nambiar. I'm responsible for the semiconductor materials business of EMD Electronics. And we're part of a business of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany.
Okay. And are you focused mostly in the front end and or the advanced packaging side of things, or the heterogeneous integration side of things?
Yeah. So we're focused, a majority of our business is from the front end, but we do have products and portfolio in the back end as well, in advanced packaging.
So how does it feel to be back at SEMICON West?
It's absolutely fantastic. You know, I was talking to some folks yesterday about the things that you missed, you know, the conversations that you missed, the lunches and the dinners and the glass of wine and you know, letting your hair down, all that stuff, which just comes back just suddenly, and you realize you missed this for so long. The fireside chats, the real fireside chats with customers, you know, partners, was really exhilarating. Mm-hmm. And I think Thank the turnout you. Here is also quite, I'm pleasantly surprised. I didn't expect as big a turnout, but even with all the situation going on with travel restrictions, that was really good. It was really good to see some of our partners and customers.
Yeah, I think people really have been craving the face-to-face interaction. And what I'm hearing from other people that I've spoken to is that the quality of the conversations have been richer because the people who are here really want to be here. And they're here for a purpose. And so, and you're able to spend a little more time with them because they're not quite maybe as many people floating by. So I think everybody's been pleasantly surprised. I know I have. I've really been enjoying the week. So let's dive in. Before we get into your new announcements, one of the things I've been asking everybody is, how has the last 18 months been impacting you, all of the things that we're going through, not just the pandemic, but, you know, we've got the chip shortage and the supply chain issues and then talent shortage. That seems to be the biggest topics here. So how is that impacting your business?
Yeah, I think, you know, when end of 2019, we were looking at a market that was coming back from a recession. So we're gearing up for a very strong 2020. We already had an expectation of adoption of 5G and AI being driving the market very strong in 2020. And of course, with the pandemic, the digital acceleration that we saw as a result of it really, you know, pushed the limits of what the industry can actually produce, limits of capacity, and so on and so forth. So I think there was an enormous amount of demand spike, and we still have a sustained demand, but not enough supply and capacity to meet that demand. And that's the sort of the gap that we see today. Add to it the logistics challenges and the port congestions and labor shortage that you're not able to move products from ports to inland. You know, you have an enormous amount of supply demand gap. And that is in my humble opinion, a very slow linear process to bring that capacity back up to where it can meet demand. So there is price escalations happening, raw material costs are going up, logistics costs are going up. So it's been a challenging journey just to get material to our customers and for customers to be able to produce reliably and so on. Having said that, I think the industry is also gearing up for the next wave of growth. What we've seen today is sort of this acceleration that will create this exponential growth of data. So if data growth is at 30% year over year, and we've seen the acceleration perhaps by several years, and this is driving a lot of need for additional materials, additional equipment, which can be put into the fabs where they can produce the chips. So the chip shortage is definitely a sort of a catch-up that the industry needs to do, particularly in the legacy technologies where, you know, you have these $1 controllers and, 50-cent sensors and things like that, which you need to finish a car or finish a mobile phone. And I think that we will still continue to have certain gaps in how quickly the industry can ramp up supply and meet up with that demand. I think it will probably take another 12 to 24 months to get to some kind of stable situation, let alone how the global economies are going to do based on the variants that we see and so on.
Right, and now EMD is part of Merck and has a very big global footprint. So has the have the logistics been with manufacturing in different parts of the world and the geopolitical issues around that?
That's a great question. I think we benefited from the fact that we have a very large global footprint. We are there in pretty much every country where our customers are located. Having said that, it also put an enormous amount of pressure on our teams to be able to remotely support some of those sites. We had to use AR glasses and various different devices to get remotely support a chemical plant mm-hmm. from starting up. And those were logistical challenges that we faced, but our teams really rised up to the occasion to meet those very demanding requirements from our customers. And having that global footprint allowed us to be a lot more flexible. And besides that, we obviously move a lot of inventory, a lot of safety stock to ensure that we have not only our raw materials, but our finished goods ready for our customers. So an enormous amount of challenge, but we've worked through a lot of it. But we still need to travel to those sites. We still need to send our engineers, and it's really painful for the individuals to go in and stay for 3 weeks in a quarantine, and then come back and spend another week, and so on and so forth. So
that, yeah, I think hopefully that'll change at some point.
Yeah.
Or we get used to it, and if that just becomes the normal. But I you mentioned AR glasses. I think that's super cool that you could. I hadn't even thought about using augmented reality for being able to do work. Research from a distance, and think about how, I don't know, not even 10 years ago, if this had happened 10 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do half of the stuff that we were able to continue doing.
Economies would have been crippled, and I think that's the beauty of the semiconductor industry is we've been able to make that happen, and so the industry also benefits, the world benefits from what we've done, and that's why there is a race to ensure that there is adequate investments done into capacity, into capability building, so that we can continue supporting and meeting these very, very critical demands from all walks of life. You know, if you think about everything that we touch and feel today has some kind of electronic, some kind of semiconductor in it. And what's the world without it? So,
right.
So the opportunities for the industry and the opportunities around the industry to create new killer applications. You mentioned AR. AR is going to be the next killer app. It's going to be the next smartphone. That's going to be going to be like a revolution, like a smartphone. And there are companies racing to bring out the real AR glasses. It'll be glasses exactly like what you're wearing. Mm-hmm. It has to be 50 grams. It needs to be light. You need to be able to see through it. You need to be able to read and wear it all day. Companies are working on real crafty solutions to get to that. Can you imagine walking around in Semicon and you don't have to wonder who that person is, whether 15 of your contacts are here, present, and right next to you,
Okay, personally, I think that's a little creepy. but what I would really like are glasses that clean themselves. I wear these all the time, and the smudges, like if you could come up with, like, that would be real technology to me if you could come up with self-cleaning glasses.
Well, I'll definitely have to talk to my colleagues in my other business unit, Surface Solutions. They have real cool coatings, which is anti-scratch, anti-reflective, and anti-dust, and so on and so forth.
It's funny. Okay, so let's talk about some of your announcements. You recently announced a U.S. investment level up. Could you talk about that?
Yep, and this goes back to what we were talking about with the demand in the industry and the demand for the automotive, electrification of automotive, the demand for consumer electronics, demand for data in general. All of this, we see the next decade to the next 20 years of continuous growth in the marketplace. While nobody knows, what the next killer app or apps could be, we know that there is going to be a sustained need for materials and sustained need for chips. And so therefore, we are taking a very aggressive stance in saying, well, we believe this market requires a lot more than there exists today. And so this is our first step to say, how do we as a company level up to meet the scale challenges, the technology challenges? What kind of portfolio do we need in order to support that? And what kind of technologies, what kind of capabilities do we need to build in order to meet those? And so Level Up is our sort of program to step into the next decade with the right level of capability and capacity. And that's why we've announced, a few weeks ago, we announced a $3.5 billion global investment. And off that, $1 billion going into the U.S. for capacity and capability building.
So investment in your manufacturing, EMD Performance Materials manufacturing in the U.S.?
Correct.
And how many locations do you have in the U.S.?
We, in semiconductors itself, we have roughly 17 sites globally. And in the U.S., EMD Electronics, EMD Serono, and Millipore Sigma, these are all sister companies of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany. I believe we have over 30 sites in the U.S., and we're present in several different states, of course.
Yeah. Okay, so will this investment be distributed among all of those?
No, this is specifically for electronics.
Okay.
Yeah, and our major sites are here in California. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, and New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Texas. These are our major sites, and then we have other satellite sites as well. But this $1 billion investment goes into capacity and R&D in the U.S.
Okay, great. Now, the other your other announcement was a partnership with
Palantir.
I can't even read my own handwriting. This is terrible. Palantir Technology?
Yes.
Is Athenia a spin out of that, or can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Athenia is an independent company that we've spun out that we've created. Mm-hmm. It's an independent company that is under Merck KGaA Darmstadt Germany, and it's a joint venture with Palantir Technologies. And the purpose of this company, maybe I'll explain the context a little better. In the industry, we supply materials to chip manufacturers. Chip manufacturers take these chemical products, chemistry, and they build electrical devices, they build chips. The inherent problem in the industry has been the inability for material suppliers and chip manufacturers to correlate how quality works. And we've been on a journey to be able to speak that similar language by creating a data ecosystem. So we need to bring a lot of data around how materials are manufactured, what are the raw material specifications, and then the customers bring their process data and say, well, with these kind of materials, we get really good quality. With these kind of materials, we don't. And we are able to do this in a much more sophisticated way using AI and machine learning techniques to be able to correlate and even predict how a material change could impact the customer's process. This is an industry-wide problem. And we worked with several customers, and we've established a mechanism and an ecosystem to be able to do exactly that. And in some cases, we've taken customers come to us with have come to us where they have been struggling to solve a problem for 5 months, 6 months. We use ML techniques and AI techniques and use this ecosystem, and we've been able to solve problems in less than 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Right. And that, if you extrapolate that beyond EMD and to all suppliers in the world and all the chip manufacturers in the world, and you imagine the ability to improve quality at a ground level from design, the ability to remove costs where it's to eliminate waste where costs are building up, the ability to make better decisions and look for better opportunities rather than waiting for a problem to happen. All of this is a mind shift change. And for this to happen, we need to build an ecosystem where data can be put in. Mm-hmm. And what we found is through our sister business sector in healthcare, they've gone through this learning process with healthcare data, patient data. So we've been able to learn a lot from that and say, how do we use similar techniques to be able to collaborate with customers, and how do we build an ecosystem where suppliers and customers can collaborate? Athenia is exactly that. Athenia gives a data platform where suppliers can bring their data, customers can bring their data, and use a very strong analytical platform to be able to draw insights from it. And with the insights, the supplier can go make changes in their process, the customers can go make improvement to their process. We've seen real yield improvement as a result of this. So we felt there is an enormous need in the industry for such a platform, and every company doesn't have the ability to do this. We've been fortunate enough that healthcare in our company was going through this path for the last few years. A lot of learnings have we been able to take, and as a result of it, we've been able to do this. Otherwise, it's almost very, very difficult. The other part of it is, we talk about data and data privacy and IP and IP security. Palantir is the epitome for data security with military grade IP security, and so the Foundry platform that they bring to the table is top notch, and so we believe we have a lot of confidence in customers and suppliers and partners who are coming in to say that this is a very secure ecosystem where enables collaboration between suppliers and customers to get real yield improvements and real cost improvements.
Can you give me like a scenario example? Maybe you're talking kind of high level, but can you tell me, not a case study, but just give me an example of how this would work, for instance, who would need it and what it would do?
Sure. So we take, for example, a chemical slurry. Okay. You know, it's used for chemical mechanical polishing, and we supply slurries to many customers. The customers will use that slurry and measure certain things to say whether the slurry works well or not. If they find a problem in their process, they come back to us and say, well, you know, we think there's a problem. Go find out what the problem is. At this time, in typical situation, that's pretty much what the interaction is. Mm-hmm. And the material supplier has to investigate and find possible causes and try to eliminate those causes and put some measures in place to correct it. And
Adjust the formulation accordingly.
Okay. And all of that stuff. Then we send it out to the customer. Customer works on it, finds, yep, it's all good. But yet, the correlation is at a very surface level because mm-hmm. we haven't really dug into what are all the parameters that could impact this process. What we found was we have specifications. Mm-hmm. This is called CFA, Certificate of Analysis. That's the specification sheet that our customers will buy a product from. What we found is in cases of slurries, only 20% of those specifications actually had an impact on their process. There were 80% of it is hidden. We don't even know. That's what the power of data brings in, is to be able to look at it and say, well, the greatest opportunity for us to improve this product is here. It's not there. It's not just where the problem is happening. And that's the mind shift change that we're seeing. And customers, what they have to deal with is every time there's a quality excursion, they have to put another control in place. Mm-hmm. They have to put another mechanism to catch it. They have to put investment into supply chain management, and supplier management, and audits, and task forces, and all that stuff. Imagine the ability to never do that. And if they have the confidence that you will never have a quality excursion because we have real-time predictive analysis going out on every batch. So before they even put the batch on, they know exactly what kind of quality of that product is on a wide variety of parameters that's way beyond the specifications. And those parameters are the actual real impacting parameters of that process. So in essence, what customers save is they improve their yields, they avoid excursions, and you've known excursions in the industry could be multi-million, triple-digit millions. So these are ways to take waste out of the system, improve the quality of our materials, and remove and reduce cost in the same process.
Okay, so Athenia just launched then, and it's in business. So if people wanted to learn more, how would they find out about, who would they contact?
Athenia.com, and definitely we launched it 2 days ago, and the first customer of Athenia will be EMD Electronics.
Right, of course.
And the intent is to bring other suppliers onto that platform. The intent is to bring other customers onto that platform to enable a collaboration. So a customer such as customer X can come in and say, well, I need my five suppliers to come onto this platform so that I can understand where opportunities are. Customer B can come in and say, well, I need 15 of my suppliers to come in and do this because those are important for me. So depending on the customers and their supply chain, there could be various different shapes and forms of this collaboration.
Okay, so the customers of Athenia could be any cog in the ecosystem. So
correct.
It could be an equipment manufacturer, it could be a materials manufacturer, it could be a manufacturer themselves, an OSAT or a foundry.
At the moment, it's between a material supplier and the chip IDM, the chip maker. OEMs have different mechanisms of collaborating with the customers. So today's scope of Athenia would be materials, because that's where we find there's a lot of scope and a lot of learning to be shared.
So could other materials companies be customers?
Absolutely.
Like Brewer Science or Autotech or any of the other material suppliers to the chip industry?
Absolutely. And that's the intent. And we get the value out of this only if many, many suppliers come online and come onto the platform. And we find the biggest value that Athenia provides is the ability to leapfrog all the learning. We've been on this for several years, and it's taken an enormous amount of resources, various different a completely different mindset beyond what a typical IT department does, creating data offices, bringing data scientists in, helping our IT department understand what data requirements are in the future, what kind of infrastructure we need for that future, and what's data strategy. All of this is not trivial, and we've gone through a very painful process to get to where we are. And we believe we have a lot to share with the industry. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. And all of these are part of Athenia's offering is the ability for a supplier in the industry who doesn't have the resources and the time. You can get on this for the next 5 years and get there. But if you want to go now, here it is. And we can get going. And the faster we get on it, the faster we realize gains. And we're talking millions in waste that we can reduce.
I appreciate your passion for this. It's great. It's great. Okay, so 2022. What are you thinking? What do you expect to see in the coming year?
Hopefully, more travel. You know, I think that's
right.
at least get to see some family and friends. But it was 2022 looks also very promising at the moment. At least from a demand cycle, we still see a very strong growth in smartphones. Automotive requirements are climbing up quite nicely. PCs, it's still, the jury's out whether it's going to decline or whether there might be another refresh. It's still to be seen. There's still a lot of PCs that are needed in the world, and the pandemic is not over. So
right.
I wonder how that would impact the overall industry. But if it comes back, it's even more positive for the industry, which creates even more pressure for us. But it's good pressure.
We keep telling ourselves that. Right?
That's right.
Good pressure. We love this.
So the market is I would say, fairly, from a supply standpoint, there is an enormous push from our customers to squeeze as much as we can. And that is a daily struggle to ensure that we have the right gases, that we have the right chemicals, and it's all in the right places where the customers need it. The demand cycle, the expectation from the industry will continue to grow next year. Mm-hmm. And materials demand will probably also be in the high single digits. And so we are ramping up as much as we can to support that. Okay. Are we there yet? Yeah. We're working on it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. Can people find you on LinkedIn?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so I'll put all this information in the show notes. And
thank you.
It was great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a safe trip back.
Thank you. You too. There's lots more to come. So tune in next time on the 3D Insights podcast.